Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see so many people here today. Last week, you may remember, Martin shared with us the story of Jesus walking on the water. It's actually about 30 verses after the reading that Harry's just read to us. And you may remember that we're actually going backwards in the Gospel of Mark. We didn't start in chapter 1. We've started at the end chapter, where we saw Jesus commissioning the disciples and telling them to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel and telling them the signs that would accompany the gospel news. Well, today we're looking at the very first time that Jesus sends out his disciples, and it's entitled Sent for Adventure. We're going to look at it verse by verse. I thought that was the easiest way to get through this particular passage today. Jesus has just returned from his hometown in Nazareth, but because the people there were very faithless and skeptical, he was only able to do a few minor miracles. So following that, Jesus transfers his ministry of teaching to other villages, where the people were far more receptive. Verse 7 says, "Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over impure spirits." Now, Jesus had chosen these 12 disciples so that they could be with him in a new and personal relationship, teacher and disciple, teacher and friend. And he's already taught them by word and action. And he now calls them to come close to him. And oh, how lovely it is to come and sit at the feet of Jesus, like Mary did, the sister of Lazarus. When we come and sit at the feet of Jesus, we can tell him all the things that worry us. We can ask his help and his guidance, and we can just sit and enjoy his presence, as I'm sure we did when Tani just led us in that hymn just now. But this morning, we may be reluctant or afraid to answer the call to come close to God, perhaps because we don't feel holy enough or worthy enough. Or as someone said to Peter recently, I think it's only for special people. And that's not the case. Or maybe we're wary of coming close to the Lord because he might ask you to do something you don't want to do. I'm sure that's happened to many of us at the time. Perhaps the fear of becoming a missionary. I grew up in a Baptist church in Petswood, and we sent out loads of missionaries over the years. And I was always a little bit wary that God would ask me to go and be a missionary. But have you ever spoken to a reluctant missionary? People like Andy Blake, who we've had here for several months over the winter, Rena and Eric, and Ruth Guinness, who's coming to be in our church in a couple of weeks' time. You could ask her. She's nearly done 21 years abroad. I'm sure that with all their hearts and souls and beings, they responded to God's call, first to come and enjoy his presence, and then to go out and follow his call to serve him. And over the years, I've come to realize that my fear of being a missionary was totally unnecessary, because I discovered that he calls us using our particular giftings and the way we live our lives according to our hopes and our desires. So don't be afraid this morning to come close to God and enjoy his presence. But as you're enjoying his presence, then the call may well come unexpectedly, because he'll send you out to share the good news of Jesus. And I'm sure many have said, "Lord, I can't do that. I can't speak, I'm not educated, I haven't been to university. It's not really my gift." Yet time and time again in Scripture, God promises to speak through us. There's a lovely verse in Luke chapter 12, verse 12, which is easy to remember, Luke 12, verse 12. "For the Holy Spirit will give you and teach you at that time what you should say." And we don't need necessarily a specific call to go out and share the good news. There's this general call in this passage, as it is at the end of Matthew's Gospel and as it is in Acts. Years and years and years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Russia from this church with Paul Jazz and David Stearns and another lady. I didn't have a specific call, but my husband said, "What's stopping you?" He was willing to look after the children for 2 weeks while I went to Russia, and so I did. And I'm sure the disciples were willing and excited to be sent out to do the same things that Jesus had been doing. They'd watched him working, praying with people, healing, restoring, and now he sends them out to do exactly the same thing. And in Mark chapter 10, Jesus teaches them what to expect, and he gives them authority to heal. Later, he will send out 72 disciples. And as we reminded ourselves at the beginning of the service, just before Jesus ascends to heaven, he sends out all who will believe in him. But the wonderful thing is that Jesus doesn't send them out alone. He sends them out two by two. There's a lovely verse in Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9 which says, "Two are better than one, for when one is down, the other will lift him up." The verse there will probably come up slightly differently. That verse holds a special memory for me because my first husband, Peter Hull, just before we got married, Ruth, sitting at the back, Ruth's father, Ray, gave that verse to Peter, and he had it inscribed in my wedding ring. So going in twos is a good strategy to follow. It's far better to have a companion on the road than try and go it alone. For the disciples, being together with someone else meant they could encourage one another. They could provide comfort if they got rejected. They could stir each other up. And it could be also a good bolster to credibility of having the testimony of more than one witness. And in the past, we've gone street walking and door knocking, and we have done it in pairs. Well, we'll see in the next verse that Jesus lets them take only the bare minimum, but he does give them one thing, and that's his authority. That is the power of the Holy Spirit working through us and speaking to others. So the disciples are sent out to do the very same thing that Jesus did. And it's a similar pattern for us. He calls us to come to him. He shares his love with us and his life with us in very many personal ways. And as we enjoy his presence and receive so many blessings from him, he then calls us to go and share that good news with others. It's a bit like a relay race. And Andrew mentioned a baton earlier on. During the race, the relay runners each receive the baton, but they miss the point if they simply hang on to it. It's meant to be passed on so that others can complete their part in the race. And likewise, we miss the point if we hold on to the good news of Jesus because it's meant to be passed on to others. Verse 8 says, "These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts." Jesus tells them not to take anything with them so they wouldn't be tempted to trust in possessions or money, but just in the Lord himself. I like the Message version, has a lovely phrase. It says, "You are the equipment. Keep it simple." What they could take, however, was a staff, something to lean on as they journeyed. Perhaps a modern version would be a walking pole, perhaps. The staff symbolized support, and we all need either to be supported or to support others at various times in our lives. Many of us probably have a little mantra as we leave the house: wallet, keys, phone, hearing aids. Well, Jesus was making it really, really easy for people, for his disciples, just to up and go without preparation, without packing suitcases, without popping into the bank for money. And we really don't need to have to go to Bible college or university or do years of theological training to answer the call when Jesus sends us out to share his good news. If you love the Lord, you already have a story to tell. And that's what people want to hear, your story of what Jesus has done in your life. But any preparation we can make can be done each day as we deepen our relationship with Jesus, as we snuggle close to him in that relationship, and as we grow in maturity, as we study and read the scriptures and memorize them, because that's a really helpful bit, and as we join others in prayer, either physically or there's lots of prayer meetings running in this church on Zoom, so that when we do see an opportunity is given to us, we are already ready to engage with that person and respond to that need. All we need to do is depend on the power and authority of God. And then amazing things can happen, and they will. We are all sent out by Jesus to follow in his ministry, to do the same things that he has done, to hand the baton on to each other. So each of us is invited, first of all, to come to Jesus, to remain close to him. And then we are invited to preach. Yes, preach. Just telling your story is preaching the good news in each of our own unique ways. And we mostly do this by the love that we share with others that we meet. And it's sharing our love and acceptance of other people which brings healing and sets them free from the demons that make them feel unwanted, insignificant, or bad about themselves. Then Jesus goes on to say, verse 9, wear sandals but not an extra shirt. That sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? Perhaps these were the sandals of the wanderer, the people that walk from place to place. Following Jesus means becoming a bit of a wanderer, perhaps internally, perhaps externally. I was reminded of that old chorus, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." The two tunics that Jesus mentioned here represent things that bring security. At night, an extra tunic was helpful as a covering to protect from the cold night air. So Jesus is actually saying, trust in God to give you a bed for the night. Verse 10, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. There was a strong belief amongst the Jews and many, many countries to welcome strangers and neighbours. An Indian writer, Tagore, tells us that when people left his hut, he found God's footprints on the floor. Isn't that a lovely expression? When you see people, when you go into people's homes, are you leaving God's footprints on their floor? God's footsteps. And when we welcome each other, we welcome God, who lives and reigns in each and every believer. Verse 11, this goes a bit near the mark. If any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Now, pious Jews would shake the dust from their feet, literally, after passing through Gentile cities or territories. It was a way of showing that they were completely separated from Gentile influences. So Jesus says to stay in the one house that first invites them in, but to move on from a place which rejected them. They were not to be held back by those who were unreceptive or unwelcoming. And it's true, some people will reject our message. They won't want to listen to our story. So Jesus is saying sometimes we may have to walk away, and that is sad. But our role is to find the person God has prepared for us to talk to, perhaps by our prayers of many, many months beforehand. And regarding the dust, maybe we can ask God to help us not to let negative dust cling to us and hold us back or slow us down from sharing Jesus. So they went out, verse 12, and preached that people should repent. The message the disciples taught and preached was the same as Jesus's. The kingdom of God was coming and that people must repent. Repentance means a change of heart and a change of action, a change of life. which can be a bit disturbing to begin with because it involves the realization that we've been living without God in our lives. Verse 13, they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So the disciples prove that the kingdom of God was present by demonstrating God's power through various signs, including driving out demons and healing the sick. Now we know that Jesus opposes all forms of domination, and he wants us to do likewise. So he today stands by the poor and the outcast. Today he wants to liberate those who are possessed by all sorts of demons, or dominated by sickness, or who are enslaved by debt, possessions, addictions, and anything else that hinders them and holds them back. The power over unclean spirits and the power to heal that the 12 are given is an extension of the authority and power of Jesus himself, and it's the start of their own ministry in Jesus' name. In this verse, we hear Mark mentioning oil, and apparently it's the only time he did. The only other times oil is mentioned is in the story of the Good Samaritan, which is for medicinal purposes, and in the letter of James, chapter 5, verse 14. In the Old Testament, oil is a symbol of blessing and consecration for God's use, but it was also used frequently as medicinal. In this instance, the oil may be a tactile way of showing God's blessing is at work, though the healing comes by faith. And we've already had a picture of that as Andrew put oil on the head of Fletcher's forehead to show he is becoming part of the family of God. And we often use anointing oil as we pray for people, especially for healing. We might not be able to do it quite yet with COVID still around, but we will again, I'm sure. The mission of the disciples was so successful that when they rejoined Jesus, the crowds will recognize them as much as they did him. And last week, Martin, if you remember, told us how people were healed as they reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' cloak. And it was so good last week, wasn't it, to have that opportunity of coming forward for prayer, for healing, and for courage. Perhaps we need that same courage today as we answer the call to share Jesus with others. As I said at the beginning, the title of this talk is Sent for Adventure. Now, the dictionary says an unexpected event or course of events, or to take a risk, or to dare to enter a place, or to dare to say something. It's from the Latin adventure, which means to happen. So do we see our relationship with Jesus as an adventure, where unexpected things happen, where we dare to do and say things we've not done before? Is our relationship with Jesus something that still excites us and brings us joy and keeps us motivated? Over the years, many in our congregation have answered the call both to come close to Jesus and to sit at his feet, and then the call to witness and share him with others. Some have been to Portugal, to Russia, to Mozambique, to South Africa. Others have gone into prisons, on the streets, helped with Alpha suppers, or shared in the life of the church by being involved with PJ Gang. Even now they're doing that. Or Pathfinders, or Link, or Breakaway, as we've heard about earlier, and toddlers, and so much more. So I wonder where the adventure of being a Christian has taken you in the past, and where it would take you tomorrow and on into the future. There are so many possibilities in this adventure we call the Christian life. We call following Jesus an adventure. And it's truly wonderful to hear his call to come close to Jesus, enjoy his presence, receive his cleansing from our sins, and enjoy him forever, and then be given his authority through the Holy Spirit and power to do the same things that he did as he sends us out on this great adventure of sharing the good news of Jesus, and I hope leaving God's footsteps on the floor. So, what's stopping us? Hallelujah. Amen.